UTAS fans, you join us on a chilly Monday morning record. Very unusual for us. After a thumping 4-0 win against Fleetwood at the weekend sent us into the third round of the FA Cup. As usual, I'm joined by a panel today, a panel of one, a Manel. Jack Swindlehurst, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, just refreshed after seeing, Cambridge United pull their fingers out after a number of weeks. But yeah, great to be in the third round. Interesting prospect of a trip to Blackburn at the start of next year, which I'm sure a lot of groundhoppers will be very happy about. I think some of the more romantic Cambridge fans will have wanted that Man City or, Arsenal big tie. But I'm quite happy with, very happy with getting through and quite happy with the draw.
Just part the football for a second. Tonight, obviously, is the FSA Awards, right? 2 years in a row nominated for Club Podcast of the Year. Obviously, thank you to everyone who voted for us. Firstly, for the shortlist, and then apparently it's a public vote this time, which, say what you want. So thanks again to everyone who voted for us for a second time. How are you feeling, Swindle? Are we excited, or are you... It's a bit of a David and Goliath thing we're having to do tonight, right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm really excited because it's like it wasn't just a flash in the pan last year. It's nice. It's a nice bit of validation for the lads that we're we're doing something right. It's a really nice day out, and it's just an exciting prospect to be in the same room as so many pretty highly regarded football bodies. But yeah, would love to win it, and we'll see whether we got enough votes or whether there's a bit of a balance to it. But yeah, just happy to be there. It's funny it being on a Monday because everyone's just a bit kind of frantic, and it's in the run up to Christmas, and everyone who's going today has got stuff going on throughout the day, so it's almost feels like I'm quite far away from being able to enjoy the prospect of the FSAs at the moment. But excited. Nonetheless.
I don't know if you remember last year's award, but obviously my business had just been evicted from their office. Like, literally took a phone call at the pub with you guys, and it was like, oh, so found out that the next morning I would have to drive my little Renault Clio into London with a manifest for all the equipment that we own in the building so that I could go and get all of our like plants and stuff. So who knows, maybe, I mean, we're in a WeWork now, and obviously WeWork could go pop any second now. So maybe we'll get two evictions 2 years in a row as well. Who knows? Right, on to, I guess, we could call more pressing matters. Swindle, you said it on WhatsApp this morning. Do you think by recording on a Monday morning and spanning over 9 a.m., do you think it's a chance we will appoint a new manager live on the podcast today?
I'm always wary of this when we're talking about Cambridge United and just anything that's looming decision-wise. We record, and lo and behold, half an hour after release, the pod is completely obsolete because another big announcement's been made. I do think it's fairly imminent. We've heard, murmurings from Cor and Betsy and the like, not really being linked with it, and there's other people being linked. Of course, odds, I think, are governed, by who bets on who rather than the likelihood of them coming. But there's quite a few names being flung about. But yeah, I feel like it's going to be quite soon that we hear who the new manager is. And I think it'd be good to get that. We've got a busy December, but also quite an enticing December suddenly after what was a good victory on Saturday. And not too many long trips in December. So it's quite, could be something to be optimistic about.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Hopefully that result on Saturday is the start of some kind of bounce of, I guess not new manager, but like interim manager, just any kind of bounce is good for us at the moment, right? So we started the game very fast. I had brought a mate with me, which always we know is a risk, right? Because, I mean, I'd given him a fairly good grounding and said, look, it's probably going to be absolutely awful. We're not in very good form. It's going to be cold. Fleetwood also aren't in very good form. Not sure what to expect. Keep your feet on the ground. 10 minutes later, 13 minutes into the game, we're absolutely flying. We're laughing. And to be honest, it felt like the game was almost done at that point. I guess what was your take on the game, on the performance, how we started?
I think it's funny. Like, it's such a great performance and such a great scoreline and such a great reaction to have. I think we have to recognise that Fleetwood really were just awful. And, we know Napa's is just such a... a great social media face and a great reporter for the Fleetwood fans. And, you know, he's usually on the optimistic side of things, but Nappas was very kind of sobered after it and, you know, kind of calling it the worst Fleetwood performance he's seen. I just think it's great when, you know, you can get your tails up so early like that. We're so guilty of not scoring early goals. And I think, you know, we didn't really, for the past few months, get into the stride of things at all. And we found ourselves on the back foot in, you know, 75% of our games. And then, you know, you're staring down the barrel of pretty tough games there. But yeah, I mean, we've not seen anything like that from Cambridge United for a very long time. I mean, three goals in 13 minutes is unheard of. And just the nature of the goals as well. Certainly the first one, both the goal scorer and the type of goal. We don't see many free kicks scored for United. And Danny Andrews come under a lot of pressure from the fans, both for his defensive work and some fairly wayward shots. So it was nice to see him step up and bend it into the bottom corner.
Yeah, I'd agree. That was a really good finish, I thought. I just started us off really well, set us up really nicely. I guess one of the standout differences from several of the performances that preceded it was it felt to me like we had started the whole game 5 or 10 yards higher up the pitch. I think after the game, Barry Corr called it a middle block, or maybe it was Michael Morrison. It's not something I've ever heard before. I think if you're over the age of about 40, this low block, middle block, high block stuff it is a bit new. But I guess middle block is code for they started higher up the pitch, and that maybe explains why Jibril Okadina also got another start. I guess how refreshing was it to see us play with a bit more positive intent and on the front foot?
Yeah, it feels like one of those games which is such a cliche to call it a free hit, but it did really feel like a complete free hit. You know, we'd be careful
with that. Yeah. Tom Walker won't like that at all.
Yeah, no, good job he's not here. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting one. And I think it's just, we were very positive from the off, and then the shackles must feel like they were off, really, I think, because you know, Bonner being there, I think there was a bit of a rift forming maybe in the dressing room. We can only kind of guess at things, but certainly there was players kind of dropping out, and it certainly looked like there was kind of, yeah, tensions there. So then, yeah, they did look like they were playing with the freedom that Cambridge United haven't had in a long time. And I think the new manager bounce, or the lack of old manager bounce, like you say, is there for all to see. And I think Fleetwood fell victim to that. I think they really could have done something in that. And maybe they had half an hour in the league. You know, they're in a similar position to us. Well, worse off, in fact. And yeah, they've really missed a chance there to at least, you know, give us a game and made it very easy for United, really.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I suppose we earned the right with that powerful first 15 minutes. You know, poor Nappers and the other 105 Fleetwood fans who turned out, it would have been a long trip. I think this week they've conceded 10 goals and scored none and lost all three of their games. So they're doing some very relatable stuff, Fleetwood, for sure. Shout out to Nappers and the rest. I mean, there are a number of standout performances to actually run through. Without going player by player, I've really felt like, obviously, under the Abbey Stand sponsored Elias Kachunga, started in that number 10 role and really looked quite intelligent. I mean, someone described him on the message board afterwards as playing like Wes, which is probably about as complimentary as you can get from a performance. Obviously, as well, when he scored, under the Abbey Stand proudly sat on his social media graphic as well, which I think might be a first. I'm sure Tom Walker was happy with that as well. How pleasing was it to see, I guess, Elias Kachunga in that role, starting the game and playing as well as he did?
Yeah, I think it's been a long time coming. I think he's come under quite a lot of pressure as well from kind of, you know, expectant fans. You come into a team like ours with Premier League experience and you know, that weighs quite heavy on your shoulders, regardless of kind of injury history, etc. But yeah, I think he's kind of, he came into it, you know, a bit more. And I think he's going to be a player who could be quite important, certainly in this run-up, you know, over Christmas and New Year, and someone that we can look to kind of influence going forward more. Because I think when they brought him in, they wanted that kind of, you know, person who knows what to do in front of goal. And he just looks very assured. I mean, let's switch it around. You know, you were there at the game. What do you think about, you know, how good do you think Kachunga is, and how important do you think he could be for us, and how good was he on Saturday?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I was pretty happy with it's all of it. It's all interconnected, right? So if you think about it felt like a few things had changed, not a massive like revolution, but just a slight change to how we'd approached everything. Paul Digby, it looked like, had more defensive responsibility than he's had in the last few months. So Digby sat much more deeply and really did that defensive work incredibly well. And it felt like because there was a lot of faith put in Digby, it meant that all of the attacking players, really, that attacking quartet, but also George Thomas, so Brophy, Kaikai, Kachunga, and Fajiri were all sort of liberated to not worry as much about sitting back and being defensive and actually being able to push forward. So Sully Kaikai probably had his best game in maybe this season, to be honest. Kachunga was really bright, linking out the play really well, sort of dropping into little pockets, just playing really intelligent balls and setting us moving. James Brophy was back to pretty much what you might call his best. So carrying the ball really well. Obviously nearly scored. He hit the bar. That would have been nice to see. I think that's become a bit of a monkey on his back, as it were, or something that people are really thinking about now. And then Fajiri obviously picked up a knock, which is a shame to see, but took his finish really well as well. So to be honest, like almost everyone on the pitch has had a really good performance, but I just feel like the two things that have contributed are setting us up higher up the pitch. So a bit more positive intent just from the outset by starting everyone further up the pitch. It's allowing the centre-backs to actually just come over the halfway line with the ball, which again is not something we've seen too much of this season, really. Digby did such a good job on the clean-up, basically, like a proper holding midfielder, that the wingers, Kachunga, Akenabiri, and then it happened when he came on, all were kind of a bit freer just to stay much higher up the pitch. It meant every time we had the ball in their third, where this season so far, we've looked really isolated in some of those positions. We actually looked, you know, we had bodies around it. So like Kachunga's goal is a good example. We've just got people following up. Like we're just, it's something we haven't seen too much of the last few weeks, is that good shot saved by the keeper, but we had three or four players swarming around the ball. Like it felt inevitable that someone was maybe going to get another chance off the back of it. And I just feel like 2 weeks ago, that probably wouldn't have been the case. And everyone was just a bit more isolated, if that makes sense. This, I guess, is the only Mark Bonner question we want to have or entertain. And I know you'll have an interesting viewpoint on it. There's a bit of a debate on the message board that only a couple of days after removing Mark Bonner, we've gone and put in a really positive, really front foot 4-0 win performance. The players can't have just suddenly, you know, not what's how have they suddenly just changed and transformed into this kind of attacking unit? Do you think they've maybe let Mark Bonner down by turning out a performance like this? I know it sounds a little bit backwards, right?
Well, it's really tough. I mean, you can't win, can you, if you're one of those players? But well, you couldn't until Bonner left. But I think to be honest, you know, I think they're really lucky in the fact that Fleetwood was so poor. They lay down and took that. And I think, you know, we could have come up against a half decent team on the day and really struggled. So yeah, I think they probably just feel like there's a bit of a release. I think, as I've said before, I think there's tensions in the dressing room. I think it was probably quite clever by the club also to get rid of Bonner when they did, you know, giving that as a bit of a, I don't want to say free hit again, but you know, opening that game up to that type of game with a caretaker manager trying something a bit different. The players all kind of, you know, reinvigorated maybe. So yeah, I think fairly shrewd by the club, as savage as that sounds. I think, you know, there's two separate ways we look at the Bonner legacy, and there's the sentiment and we love it, but then we have to look forward, and this season was in danger of getting away from us and may well still do. But I think, you know, Bonner had ridden his luck as far as a football manager goes and had used up that goodwill, I think, in all honesty. So I think the timing was right, and I think, you know, it'll be hard for him to watch and see all those players kind of thriving, keeping a clean sheet, scoring four goals, three inside 13 minutes. But, you know, to be honest, I think that was almost a bit of a flash in the pan, and United were very lucky against who they came up against. But I think there's, you know, still a long way to go, and I think it could be quite a sobering next game out. You know, it's not an easy place to go, and Charlton will be hurting after a tough loss at the weekend for them. So yeah, we could receive quite a healthy backlash at a ground that we have had kind of pretty tough times at in recent times. So yeah, I don't think it's a lack of respect towards Bonner. I think the dressing room is in a place that it was in, and I think everyone was feeling pretty grim at the time. And yeah, just to have that release probably helped on Saturday. And yeah, getting that early goal definitely just lit the touch paper, as they say.
That's the one. It's a good cliche to use, definitely. Yeah, I guess I sort of agree with your Bonner point. I think knowing him as well as I guess we do, or we've got to know him over the last 3.5 years as a fan base, I like to think he's such a humble, well-grounded guy that actually he'll obviously have seen the result. I wouldn't believe, even if someone said that he wasn't paying any attention to it, I'm fairly confident he would have been. I like to think he would have still been quite happy with it. I know it sounds kind of macabre, but he's just a different kind of guy, I guess, to some other football managers. So my hope and feeling is that he saw it and was mildly pleased and thought, it's good for the lads, if you know what I mean. It's still his squad. It's still a squad he's put together. There's still even some stuff that I think he had started on Tuesday. It's like start Jibril Okadina, push players higher up the pitch, that had carried on into the game. So I think Barry Corr was very respectful as well to Bonds and still seems a bit shocked, to be honest. I think Barry Corr's maybe struggling to understand, you know, realise fully what's gone on and how it's all gone down over the last week or so. I guess that's just football, right? Fajiri Ikenabiri took his finish really well. 9 goals this season now for him, which is great to see. And it's the player that we know is in there. But he was sadly subbed off soon after. And Barry Corr said in the interview afterwards, he was already getting an MRI, I think, when the game was still going on, which is pretty impressive. But it sounds serious. They expect to get the results today. It looked like he just had got a knock. Pleasing to see him score the goal, but how much of a worry is it to see him then come off?
It's a major worry, really. I mean, I was pretty scathing about the inclusion of Fajiri at the start of the season. I don't think I was particularly enthused by him being, you know, a kind of forefront of the squad. But yeah, he's proved me wrong. And, you know, he's just really kind of that lethal strike you need in front of goal. He puts away as a chance, a poacher, really. And yeah, at this time of year when it's so busy, and we've done okay, actually, injury-wise this season compared to others. You know, we've got more personnel than we have done. And I think it's a real shame to see Fajiri. And talk of an MRI always kind of puts it up you a bit. You know, it looking like a knock is one thing, but if, you know, you come back and even if Fajiri's out for 6 weeks and we don't get him back till the second or third week of January, that's a huge chunk of games to miss. And we could really be, you know, in a difficult position. So hopefully it is a knock and hopefully we can, you know, have him back in within, you know, a couple of weeks. But yeah, there are some really tough games coming up. I think a couple of home games in the run up to Christmas that we could definitely do with points from, you know, and tough trips post Christmas. So Fajiri could be absolutely crucial to that. And we would be looking a bit light in the forward line if Fajiri is going to be missing for all that time.
Yeah, fingers crossed for him and for us, I guess. Swindle, you strike me as an old school kind of penalty taker, right? So you're running up to the ball and you're hitting it as hard as you possibly can. Gassan Ahadmi came on for Fajiri and looked pretty lively, to be fair to him. So split the penalty analysis for a second. I thought he did quite well. Was that maybe the worst penalty you've seen Cambridge United ever take?
We've got to, yeah, at 100%. And okay, we've got to nip that in the bud, like, now, before it happened, really. But absolutely, like, that's a level of arrogance that Cambridge United do not deserve to have in any level whatsoever. Being 3-0 up against somebody in your own league in a cup game after sacking your manager and then taking a penalty like that is a joke. If you're going to do that, it needs to nestle just under the crossbar. You need to be properly dinking it and not trying to dink it over the keeper's foot. It's rubbish. You've just got to lace it at this level. We've had, you know, bad form with penalties for quite a while. And, you know, we've shared the responsibility of who takes them. And, you know, and Ahadmé, if he, you know, levered that in, could have really kind of staked his claim for being our penalty taker. And really, I think that's just arrogant. You know, I think it's unnecessary and pretty inexcusable. And if, you know, it's a good job there wasn't somebody else to bring on for him, because I think that's a really stupid way to take a penalty, even when you're 3-0 up. So I think, yeah, we need to get on the training ground, teach people how to lace them and, go back to the drawing board. I can't believe that any of the coaching staff have encouraged Ahadmé to go up and take a penalty like that. I really can't believe that. I think it was just completely arrogant.
I guess it's one of those that if you do it and you do it well and it goes in, then everyone's laughing and we're all having a bit of a fun with it. But if you do it that badly, I'm not sure I've ever seen a Panenka bounce twice, but I'm pretty sure it was not far off it. I guess it was, as you say, it was a product of being 3-0 up and being in a fairly comfortable position. I am, again, we'll never know, but I'm mortified of the idea that had we been, like, I don't know, at London Road and there's 10 minutes to go, that when we get a penalty, that he may have tried something like that. But maybe that's not how it would have been.
Well, I think that's the point, though. I think, you know, as someone like Ahadme, who's, you know, wants to be a goal scorer, you have to state your claim for that, and you have to kind of instill confidence into your teammates. And, you know, everyone can do it on the training ground, and everyone can whack him in or do a Panenka on the training ground. But if that's happened in a match, I reckon there's going to be other people going, you know, if we get a penalty next time, staking their claim for a penalty. And then you have players arguing over the ball, and then suddenly, you know, you're missing more penalties again. So I just think it's kind of pretty irresponsible and a bit stupid from Ahadme when he really had the chance. You know, he could have come away with 2 goals, a 5-0 win would have been a lot nicer. And, you know, who knows what would have happened then? Maybe he would have got a hat trick. So, yeah, I think he's missed a chance there, and also, you know, missed a chance to be our kind of leading penalty taker.
All right, then on to the next round. Obviously, with a cup win, £67,000 of prize money, which is always worth having, and probably the easiest 67K that we'll make for quite some time as a football club. Blackburn Rovers away for us in the third round in January. I guess that would be a new ground tick for many, you know, probably half our fan base in this day and age. The last time we played there, I think, was in the early 90s, I think. How excited? I had my own feelings, but, you know, were you... Yeah, I think the head shake is probably about right. Like,
yeah, I mean,
it feels all right, doesn't it?
It does feel all right. And like, I have a vested interest in that I can incorporate it with a trip back up north, further north to home. So, you know, but I've been to Ewood Park before, weirdly enough, having watched a couple of games there when I was a kid. And yeah, it's a nice ground and it'll be quite a good one. It's, you know, it's not quite the Newcastle of, you know, of a few Januaries. But yeah, I think, to be honest, I think a few people in our group were meh and a few were like, yeah, it's all right. At first, I was quite happy with it. And I suppose I kind of remembered the last 20 or so years for Blackburn, and I'm less so. And they've also got Sammy Smodic as well, haven't they, Blackburn?
But he's not going to play. He's not going to start, is he?
Maybe. Well, you never know. You never know.
I thought it was all right. I think every year when we're in the third round draw, which doesn't happen every time, but every year I do find it really exciting, to be honest. I'm sat there getting a good build-up. I was at my parents' house. I've sort of forced everyone, you know, forced the entire family to watch the FA Cup draw, not that anyone else cares. And I'm sat there, and then the first few teams that come out, I think, just remind you of exactly how shit the draw could be. Mm-hmm. When you see, like, Huddersfield come out, no offence, you're just like, oh, God. And actually, really confronted by it, like, very quickly start to realise the odds of getting what you want, which is probably like one of the top 8 or 10 Premiership teams away, are actually quite low. So Blackburn away, you know, they are a former winner of the league, even after football was reinvented in 1992. They've still won the league since then. As you say, it's a big ground for many, a new ground. I think on the spectrum of draws we can get, it's probably like a 6 or a 7 out of 10.
100%, 100% agree with that. If you look at some of the teams that are in our league, even that we could have drawn, and, you know, trips that we really wouldn't want to make, I think, to be honest, we can't complain. There were so many all Premier League ties drawn before we got pulled out the hat. So by that point, I was kind of resigned to a really gross, you know, long trip on a Saturday. So yeah, I think we should just take it and see.
Yeah, I just think even Luton, I think, were the first team out of the hat, and I was immediately like, oh no, not that, like, not Luton away, because it's like, yeah, obviously they're in the Premiership, great for them, but God, not again. And obviously you could get Newport County at home or something like that, which I suppose you'd look at and say we have a good chance of progressing at least. But I think with Blackburn, because there's a feeling they'll obviously play something maybe of a second string side, and they are, you know, they're not that many places higher than us in the pyramid, that there is a chance we can go there and actually do something. So for me, I think it's decent draw, like, in terms of what you can get. And yeah, I guess it'll be nice to go somewhere different. I hear that Blackburn is lovely in early January, so I'm sure that'll be a lovely thing for us all to go and do. Right, I think we can wrap things up there. Obviously, FSA Awards tonight, huge. Keep all your fingers crossed for us. We'll see how we get on. Last week, we put out not one, not two, but three podcasts. One of those was particularly groundbreaking and really important piece of podcasting. So We put out a special episode related to violence against women and girls in football and the role that football plays. I would encourage anyone who hasn't had a chance to go back and listen to that one. Swindle, thanks for joining me on this freezing Monday morning.
Yeah, see you the other side of the FSAs.
I'll see you later on, yeah.